Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With me today is Daniel McAdams. Daniel, good to see you.
Good morning, Dr. Paul.
Good. We're going to be talking about some of the follow-up from the recent Syrian bombing by the U.S. government. But before we do this, I wanted to just mention a few things about our exciting weekend.
Yes.
Very positive weekend here in the great city of Lake Jackson. Hardly on the map, but we had some very important people here in a large crowd. And we had a joint event with the Mises Institute and the Ron Paul Institute for Peace and Prosperity. A lot of people showed up, and both organizations, you know, really, really worked well together making this point. And the title was War and Peace in the Age of Trump. And it's been up in the air because we've discussed, you know, Trump's position, you know, before he was elected and what it would mean. And we're still sorting it out. But I know you worked hard on this weekend to make it successful, but I was very pleased with the way it turned out.
It was great. And, you know, I was a little disappointed about the fact that Trump bombed Syria, but it certainly made the conference more relevant than ever, you know, and it was just, you know, it was amazing to have so many people down here. The place was packed down at the college, and it was a great, terrific crowd. And I don't know if you had this experience, but I ran into person after person after person who were there that watches the Liberty Report every day. And they said,
"That is right.
So happy to meet you. You know, love the Liberty Report." Did you have that same experience?
Yeah, it was wonderful. That I said, "Do you watch it live?" Yeah, they're live listeners. They watch for it. So sometimes I get a little nervous if we're a minute or two late. But, you know, our great technician always wise, we might be a couple minutes late today. We're not quite like Fox yet to compete with the efficiency of being on in the split second. But we can certainly compete with the presentation of some facts and analysis that we think are so important. But no, it was a great weekend, and I hope we can get to do this again because people are looking for the truth. And it was neat that it was streamed, too. I mean, although we had a large crowd in the hundreds, there were thousands probably watching
it live, yeah.
And that's still available on the Internet, what went on.
Indeed, yeah. We have it on the Ron Paul Institute website today. It has a link to where you can watch the whole thing live. And we sure do appreciate our viewers.
Wonderful. You know, today I wanted to go over, you know, the consequence, what happened since this has occurred, who supports the bombing, who doesn't support the bombing, who's winning on this, the pro-attack people or the ones who said it was a bad mistake and shouldn't do it without congressional approval, this sort of thing. So there are some pleasant surprises, and there are some disappointments, but certainly the disappointment isn't too surprising. I would start with that, and that is the initial reaction so far of the politicians in Washington. You know, I saw some headlines about Ryan and McConnell, you know, super supportive, and it's pointed out they weren't quite supportive when Obama wanted to do this. So they're strictly partisan people. They don't have a position of anti-war, pro-war. You know, they don't have a principled stand on foreign policy. They have a principled stand, whatever we can to promote our partisan power. You know, that seems to be the driving force of so much what goes in Washington. But it shows that those two plus others, I mean, I'm sure you saw the reports that some of the Democrats now who hate Trump, this is not so bad. Maybe this guy's not all evil. You know, he bombs when we like him to bomb, that sort of thing.
Yeah, the case with both McConnell and Ryan is interesting because, and as the Washington Post, I think it was, the New York Times, pointed out that in 13, after the attack on Ghouta, the chemical attack on Ghouta, and President Obama had a plan to go in with missiles, both of these gentlemen opposed it because they were skeptical about it. They were skeptical about whether Assad was involved in a way. And now they're saying, you know, definitely got to do it. But I don't think they realize, though, is that the whole rationale and justification for the attack last week depends to a large degree on the existing narrative from 2013, i.e., Assad gassed his own people back then, so of course he did it again. But if they are skeptical about that, then that undermines the rationale for the current and that, you know, people that are skeptical now.
But it turns out there was no evidence, and most people realize that Assad didn't do this. But even though it's still recited by the pro-neocon position on the reason why they have to continue to do this, in spite of the facts, you know. So many of these statements, all the way up to the United Nations, it's based on fake news and fake reports.
We do have that first clip, and this is, we're not making this up, you know. This is back from 2013. The UN accuses Syrian rebels of carrying out sarin gas attacks, which had been blamed on Assad's troops. So this is the UN.
That's the final answer, but how many people saw that answer? Not very many.
Or even believe it today.
They continued. Once the early propagandists get out there and scare the people, it's hard to reverse that image. That was the case, you know, when they put out all the propaganda for going into Iraq. It was hard to erase it. The erasing of that only comes years later, after 12 years or so of bombing and killing and money. And they said, oh, you know, by the way, there were never any weapons found. No weapons were found in Iraq. And there's no gas that he did. And like we mentioned last week, the absurdity of it. People, they should be laughed out of it. And yet, you know, to believe that he's stupid enough to do that. But they turn it around, and the media, they just ridicule a person that does that. And even in the Congress, you know, there's a few good Congress people there, and in the Senate as well. But even in Congress, they challenge somebody that spoke out eloquently against this, and what was their suggestion should happen to that individual?
Well, this is very interesting, because Tulsi Gabbard was on CNN over the weekend. She's a Democrat representative from Hawaii. She's an Iraq war veteran. She knows what it's like there. She says she lost friends there in the war. And she said she's skeptical about it. She was asked on CNN, well, do you believe that he did it? And she said, it doesn't matter what I believe. None of us have seen any facts one way or the other. We should base it on facts. Right after she got off the TV, Howard Dean, the big progressive leader, said she should be kicked out of Congress. You know, and we even have our second clip. The Democrats want to kick her out for just saying, shouldn't we have some evidence? Here's her with Wolf Blitzer over the weekend. Liberal leaders call for challenge to Gabbard over serious skepticism. They want to primary her just by saying, hey, can we have some evidence?
Yeah, but you know, I challenge that. It's not liberals. It's the neocon element, which includes conservatives and liberals now.
Yeah.
So, and this is the argument that, you know, you can find out that there's a lot of neocons now and a lot of bipartisanship based on non-facts. You know, and like Tulsi points out, maybe we don't know everything yet. It took a while for the UN to come out and say Assad didn't have the gas.
Yeah.
And then everybody ignores it. So she's just, you know, a little bit more astute at trying to analyze this. And then they get in trouble. Kick her out of Congress. Just the whole idea that they suggest this is so absurd. But then again, people come together. You know, we're all neoconservatives now. And, you know, it reminds me of the original statement. We're all Keynesian now, mm-hmm. by Nixon. So now they all got together on Keynesian economics, and they're all together on this militant foreign policy. People can flip-flop and do anything they want. But, you know, they changed the tune a little bit. They said, well, Trump, I believe, is not for nation building, but he's for empire building. He's for the American. And these people who want this, they don't care what the excuse is, how they're going to con the people into it. Okay, nation building didn't do so well. I don't want the responsibility of that. But we will have the responsibility of maintaining order and making sure that we send a message. What else is the explanation from Trump? Vital national security interest. Come on, where did our national security interest get improved with the release of those bombs on that runway and warn, you know, the people to try to minimize, you know, the downside of it? And tell the Russians, hey, you know, it's no top secret. Yeah, you Russians, you better watch out. We're going to bomb that runway because we have to prove that we're tough and at least verbally and actions like this is to even send a message to the Russians, you know, and they do it with the Chinese and all. But it's always for our national security interest. And the plain truth is it's dangerous to our national security. It's dangerous to our defense. And it's just a con job on the American people. And hopefully more people wake up, but there are some groups waking up. You know, we keep thinking this is all negative. We read this and they're all together now. They're all neocons now. But the big question is, how active is the group of people who resisted giving authority to Obama, you know, in 13? There was a good group. He finally walked away. He didn't ask for it because he knew he couldn't get it. So I think there might be a group of people out there that might be sympathetic to what we're saying.
Yeah, I think there are cracks in the edifice. You know, we were semi-jokingly saying, yeah, we're all neocons now because so much of the left, so much of the mainstream media who couldn't see the back of Trump fast enough, all of a sudden are praising him. You know, Fareed Zakaria came up in the conference over the weekend, this great global thinker. You know, the night as the bombs were flying, he said, I think Trump just became president tonight, you know.
Oh,
it's a glorious thing. But you're right, there are cracks in the edifice. People who had been fervent supporters of Trump, people like Ann Coulter, furious with him. Michael Savage, furious with him. Graham, the radio talk show host.
Well, Tucker did.
Tucker, of course,
did.
Yeah.
And there are
Farage
did too. Yeah. So there's a lot of Laura Ingraham.
I
mean, and they're pretty, you know, mainstream Republican types, but at least they're honest enough. But they were mainstream, I guess, people that were supporting of Trump because they saw Trump. Like we wanted to see him, that he was less likely to drop bombs and have a different foreign policy, one designed to maybe look inwardly and defend our country rather than looking outwardly and saying that we own the world. And this is great, I think. And that's the people. I still think we and they are the majority in the country. And it reminds me of a saying that I heard so often by neocons that one thing they resent are these foolish people who think that peace is a normal thing. And unfortunately, on their side of the argument is because the war people seem to have so much clout and they have so much control over the propaganda that they are able to manage to get their wars in spite of the people. But that's not to accept the whole basic principle that peace is natural. I think peace is abnormal. I think people would just as soon prefer peace and prosperity, but they get conned into it by these warmongers who convince people, oh no, you got to have these wars or you won't have any peace, and you have to give up your liberties, you have to have a strong government, you have to sacrifice that. How can you be safe if you don't have the support of the government, and you want to be safe so that you can be free? So they have it all twisted around, but they start with the idea to put a negative on peace, that you're some, and just like throw you out of Congress if you're for peace and you don't want to jump into every war you see, you know, that there's something wrong with you. And, of course, we had pretty good advice early in our history on what we might do to stay out of these kind of conflicts. They certainly, the founders wanted to stay out of Europe because we were closely connected to Europe, but the strong advice was stay out of the entangling alliances of Europe, and I would add all over the world, especially the Middle East right now.
Yeah, they should have a requirement that any of the experts on TV, they have to flash under them all of their conflicts of interest, all the defense contractors. But I wanted to go back to one thing you said earlier, because I don't know that you had read this, but, you know, Trump said vital national security interest to hit Assad after he used the gas. But this was an additional rationale that I read that the White House had. The reason why this is a vital national security interest is because if he's got gas and he's using it, it might be used against our troops who are on the ground illegally there. And so it reminds you of the story you always tell about during that hearing when they said, you said, well, Iraq never attacked us.
Yeah.
And they said, well, of course they did. As we were bombing in, they were shooting back.
Yeah, they were shooting at our weapons. So we were on the receiving end of their aggression. They they're committing aggression by shooting down airplanes that were bombing them.
So that's how, and
remember when the congressman said that, he was really serious.
Yeah.
I mean, that was his mental status, was that we have this automatic authority to do whatever we want and to mold the world, even if we have to use bombs. And of course, my position on and the problems that we have is that we go about the world with this arrogance, and we have two foreign policies, really. And you can even see that in the current events, that if we go in and threaten people, you do it our way, you're part of our system, and if you behave yourself, we won't put sanctions on you, and we'll finance you, and we'll subsidize you. But if you don't do what we tell you, you're going to get bombed.
Yeah.
I mean, that has been what's happening. Why can't we just say to people, you know, we want to be friends with you. You're imperfect. We're not exactly perfect either. But maybe if we talked to each other, traveled back and forth, shared values and views, shared trade, maybe we would have self-interest. I keep thinking that in spite of the move toward antagonism toward China, just think, at least I think about it, compared to when I was in high school, when we were dealing with China and fighting and killing each other. So Nixon, as bad as he usually was, I think it was a great thing that he actually opened the crack of the door that we can talk to the Chinese. But here we are back bashing the Chinese again. So it just seems like they haven't quite understood why trade and diplomacy might be a little bit better off, and maybe peace could become more acceptable and say, oh no, peace is not natural.
Well, you know what's so insane about this U.S. attack on Syria, you know? It was purportedly because Assad gassed, as Trump said, beautiful little children were gassed, so we had to go hit him. But in the strike where we launched 59 Tomahawk missiles against Syria, reportedly 9 civilians, including children in a neighboring village, were killed by the strike that we did. So the kids are killed in the first place, and then we retaliate and kill some more kids.
Good. I see the clock is telling us that we have to round this up. Do you have a couple summary points that you would like to make?
Well, I think, you know, there's right to be skeptical. As you pointed out in your column today, they lied to us about Iraq. They lied to us about Syria, about Libya. It's healthy to be skeptical. You know, what are we? We can't question our government?
Yeah, I wish we could have more of that. And the main reason why one should remain skeptical is to seek the truth, to seek the plain truth of things. That's what we should be involved in, because the truth is what will make us free and understanding and less war. But unfortunately, we allow our governments to get too big. We depend on too much government. We allow the government to assume a role that that they shouldn't have. And their role should be exactly as we have as individuals. We don't have the right to tell other people what to do and take from them and transfer wealth and do all the things that as individuals, which would be considered illegal, it would be considered violent, and it would be considered theft. But we have conceded to the government, and this is not just the U.S. government. I think government in general is what we have to challenge. This whole idea that we concede way too much to the government, instead of a government there to be protecting us against the violent people, they become the participants of the violence. They want to redistribute the wealth, tell people how to run their lives, and they want to tell the rest of the world how to run their lives. So there's way too much aggression by government. So until we understand that governments should live under exactly the same rules that we are, don't lie, cheat, or steal. And the government shouldn't be allowed to do that either. And if you look at our foreign policy, our domestic policy, our monetary policy, that's what they're involved in. So my goal is to limit those powers of government to that of really dealing with, reining in those who would commit aggression and violence, not to be the policeman of the world, which has led to this chaos. And that is the reason that we live in a very dangerous time now worldwide. But I do want to thank everybody that maybe tuned into our program over the weekend, but also thank all of you that tuned in today. And I hope you share this message with other people. That would be helpful to us. And please come back to the Liberty Report soon.